Welcome, everyone, especially our visitors. If you're here today, not a member of the Lord's Church, you are, in fact, our honored guests. And we welcome you. And we are glad to have you among us. We continue on the lesson that we started last week, Sunday. I'm hoping today to make the second part, the final part in the lesson. And hopefully we can achieve that. We are looking on the statement in the book of Acts of the Apostle 22 and verse 14. That thou shouldest know his will. We ask that verse 14 of the text be read again.
And he said, the Lord of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth.
Saul, your encounter, what is happening to you right now is for this divine purpose, that you may know God's will, implying you do not know God's will at this time. That's why I strike you with blindness to get your attention. You are called also to witness that Jesus Christ is in fact alive. So that's why you saw him. That thou shouldest know his will. This statement is relevant to all of us. It has meaning and implication for every man and every woman. Religious and non-religious. Because no man or woman can stand righteous, cleansed, forgiven, saved in God's sight, if that man or woman does not know the will of Jesus Christ. God's will, Christ's will to save us, is not religious abstract. It's not just some things, good, nice things, religious things that we imagine. God's really something real that you and I can study and know. And Paul is being told here that one of the purposes for his encounter, as recorded in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 9, is so that he may know the will of God. In today's lesson, we will be looking on, among other things, the religious credentials of this man. You see, it's important that we understand to whom was this statement made. In fact, that's what really gives this lesson any substance. And that's why it is so important for you and me to observe this. To whom was it said? It was not said to just a good intention man or woman out there who had no religious background and who didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. God's will in Jesus Christ, as spelt out in the gospel, God's will to save you and me and every man, woman, living this side of the cross, is not merely being nice. God's will to save us in Christ is not merely being religious. God's will in Jesus Christ is not merely being decent. But it's not something else too. It's not. It's not just any and any religious way thought out by man or woman. May I? The Bible tells us that it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should forgive sin. But why not? Why not? Why? Why God didn't just find one of the righteous angels to die for man's sin? Righteous angel who have never sinned. Well, why the Almighty God didn't pick out in history one of these upright religious men to die for us? You see, brothers and sisters, an angel would not meet the holiness of God. An angel would not meet the justice of God. You mean a sinless angel, Brother Mitchell? Yes, they would not meet the demand of God's holiness. The demand of God's justice. When the Bible says it is impossible that the blood of bulls, it means that no come up to God's standard, the blood of bulls and of goats. And I have a sermon, many of you have listened to it many years ago, not all the blood of bulls and of beasts. In that lesson, I went down in a rough estimation the thousands of cows, the Bible called that, Old English referred to it as ox or oxen, cows and sheep that were slain under the Old Testament period. Those did not even begin to address man's sin, other than to sort of the Almighty God made that provision as a good intention for those who had offered those sacrifices. It was merely a good intention for them. A promissory note. When I borrow some money from you and write a promissory note, it means that I plan to pay you back. But I know the little piece of paper, the promissory note I give you, is not the money. It only shows my intent. That's what the animal blood did. The Bible says it is impossible. Impossible because God's holiness and justice could not be satisfied by animal blood. Neither by a sinless angel. Neither by a holy man or woman. And you may say, what does that have to do with the will of God? It has to do with the will of God in the fact that when you and I come up with some religious thing, that cannot meet God's holiness and justice. When you and I offer our best intention and our sincerity, the holiness and the justice of God says that it's foolishness. Only the Almighty God can give men and women the pointers and the direction in respect to what satisfies His holiness and justice. Here are some nice people. Decent, religious people that even though they were decent and religious and nice, they still stood in need to know God's will and to serve Him His way. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3. Read.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer.
The Apostle Paul, this great servant of Jesus Christ, is writing to the Christian, to the church of Christ that was in Rome. Said, brethren, my heart's desire and
prayer to God.
When I pray to God, I pray to God that you, my fellow Israelite, might be saved.
For I bear them record.
He said, I am a witness to some good qualities in you Israelites. Watch here.
And wait.
Those of you who are here as visitors, you are not a member of the Lord's church. You need to get this. That's why we think it is God who brought you here today. Because there are a lot of falsehood and Satan would like you to believe that just being religious and joining up with a church going to make you stand right in God's sight. That's Satan's trick. He knows that you are a religious person. You believe in God and you want to serve God. What he has done is to misdirect you. Direct you to false religion. When you come to a true church of Christ, you are going to learn truth that God wants you to learn. And here are some truth. He said,
"For
I pray in my prayer
to God,
Israelite, Jews, in my prayer to God, I pray that you might be saved." Because he said, here are some good religious qualities in you. What you are going to see, he's going to show them that these good religious qualities did not save them or make them right in God's sight. For I bear them record that they have
a zeal of God. But a zeal of God.
Somebody said, Mr. Mitchell, what that means is when a man or a woman is burning up with eagerness to serve God, the person believes in God and the person puts out effort to serve God. Zeal. And a lot of times we are swept off our feet by zeal. Yeah. But you see, zeal needs something else to satisfy God's holiness and justice. Notice, for I bear them record, which means, as a fellow Jew, as a fellow Israelite, I know how eager you are to serve God. So Paul says, I'm a witness that you have a zeal
of God.
Of God. It's a zeal that is directed in God's direction to serve him. But here now is, you see that word, but? it's a contrast now. But!
Not according to knowledge.
Everybody gets that? In serving God, you need the know-how. The concept of knowledge is dealing with the know-how. Wait, Mr. Mitchell, I've always thought that you want to serve God and you are sincere, you just do those things that you think are right. No, sir! You do those things that the gospel directs you to do. I started by telling you that God's will is not just good religious intention. And the passage and the consideration is telling us that. You have zeal, you need God's know-how. Not according to knowledge. Watch here now. Wait. You're watching? The same thing that happened to these people to whom the book of Romans was written is the same thing that is happening to religious men and women today. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to God's know-how. According to knowledge, that's what it means. Yeah. God has his know-how. That is what we refer to as the will of God. Amen. Now watch now the consequences. Watch the result when men and women, including you and me, when we don't know God's will, we go to church every day and feel like we are sleeping with God in the same bed every night. That's how holy we feel. All to end up one day before God and to be condemned. Because we take God's know-how for granted. So listen, the brothers, wait. The brother is in the book of Romans chapter 10. And he reads about verse 1 and 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, when you do not have God's know-how, how to serve him, notice what result.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
You see, ignorance of God's righteousness. Mr. Mitchell, what does it mean, God's righteousness? Does it there mean that God is righteous? No, that's not what that means. We know that God is righteous. But that phrase there, the righteousness of God, is not referring to God's character. It's referring to God's way of saving man. God's way of making man righteous. That's why it is God's righteousness. For they being ignorant
of God's righteousness.
Of God's righteousness, you see, because they didn't know God, have God's know-how. They are worshiping and serving God their own way, feeling that they are saved when they are not saved. Yeah. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
And going about to establish their own righteousness.
That's another downward step away from God, you know. First, They are ignorant of God's righteousness. Wait. Many men and women feel we don't have the time to wait. I read the Bible. I'm too busy. I have to go work. I have the children to take care. You know, brothers and sisters, please. You should appreciate God's word so much that you spend some time studying it and thankful to God that we have God's revelation, the Bible. So watch here, we are still in Romans chapter 10. For they be ignorant of God's righteousness
and going about,
and they go about to establish
their own righteousness.
T-H-E-I-R. Their own righteousness. Wait, you see, you can have your own righteousness different from God's righteousness. Mr. Mitchell, what does it mean, your own righteousness? When you think that you are holy and you are righteous and you are a child of God, but in God's sight, you are not. That's a terrible thing, you know. That's a terrible thing. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not
submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Only as we submit ourselves to the way God planned to make us righteous are we going to be saved. One of the takeaway from this is that you must learn that we can have our own righteousness. We are going to come up on this again in another book. That man can have his own righteousness. Where men and women think they are righteous, but in God's sight they are not. Wait. The passage just read, Paul was writing to religious men and women. Yeah. Notice they had zeal of God. That zeal did not make them acceptable to God. Did not make them Christian. Are we all there? That thou shouldest know his will. We are still there. As I said in the beginning, notice to whom the statement was made. We are going to take a little look now at the life, the religious background, the knowledge base of this man, Saul, to whom the statement was made or referred to in the book of Acts 22 and verse 14, that thou shouldest know the will of God. Now, Mr. Mitchell, remind us. Yes, read it again for me, brother.
And he said, the Lord of our fathers hath chosen thee.
Now, wait. This is the preacher that was sent to convert Saul. Remember, it's the same Saul that going to become Paul, the apostle. So you and I are right here witnessing some of the incident or incidental that surround his conversion. So here the preacher met him. In fact, he was praying when the preacher reached where he was. The preacher disrupted his prayer. For one thing, he had no reason to pray at that time. He had a greater need than prayer. The preacher said to him, read, brother.
The God of our father has chosen thee.
Uh-huh.
What thou shouldest know, that thou shouldest know his will.
That's the first thing mentioned. Implying that at this point you do not know his will. Now, may I? Let us look on the man who it is said did not know God's will. We are looking on his religious and knowledge-based resume. And some of it is, the man to whom the statement was made that he needed to know God's will, he had so much religious knowledge and learning that in the book of Acts of the Apostle 26, Agrippa and Festus, that is King Agrippa and Festus, they were swept off their feet. let me hear verse 6. Acts 26.
And now,
verse 20. Let me hear verse 6 through 10.
And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night,
mm-hmm.
hope to come.
What he's doing, you know, he's going down a religious history which Festus and Agrippa were well aware of. You see, read on.
For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Why should it be thought, I think, credible with you that God should raise the dead?
In other words, what he's saying to, is it Agrippa he just addressed?
Yes.
Festus was there also. He said, in other words, implying that Agrippa knew the history of the Jew, and Agrippa maintained some of the belief of the Jew. So he said, why is it so incredible that God should raise the dead? Because the Jew, I am here being tried because I preach the resurrection of the dead. Read on.
I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of
he
Jesus
is going
of Nazareth.
When he was persecuting the church. So he said, he's implying, just like these Jews, I was like they are. Because I thought I should oppose God's will. Read.
Which thing I also did in Jerusalem.
That's right.
And many of the saints did I shut up in prison.
He said, I get letters and send many Christians to prison. He's showing Agrippa his zeal for Judaism. Read.
Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them.
Y'all hear that? Here is a man that when Christians were put to death for no wrong they committed, Saul is confessing that I gave my consent. I was a part of it. Step down to verse 24 somewhere to verse 26, I think.
24. And as he thus spake for himself,
mm-hmm.
Festus said with a loud voice,
mm-hmm.
Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad.
Festus didn't say, Paul, you are getting crazy. The amount of knowledge you have is making you mad. No, he didn't say, Saul, too much learning make you crazy. That's what he said. So we're not dealing with an ignorant man here. That Festus was so swept off his feet with Agrippa. The Bible said that he said with a loud voice, you're crazy. Too much learning make you mad. But not only that, turn to the book of Acts of the Apostle 22. Verse 5, verse 1, 2, 3, and 5, 34. Holy. Not only do we have the king, Agrippa, Festus testifying to this man knowledge base. Remember, we are looking at the man knowledge base and religious resume. But we also have Paul being trained by the then best religious scholar. Let us hear chapter 22, verse 1 through 3 and 5, 34.
Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense.
Here again, this is a different courthouse. They're taking from the local judge to the higher judge to the appeal court, because he's going to appeal to Caesar. And that was for Jesus Christ. Part of his problem was trying to show the Jews that you cannot be saved by Judaism. Are we all there? The Church of Christ today is telling men and women, you cannot be saved in churches started by man. Amen. And by man-made religious teaching. Amen. That's why Paul. So we hear now.
Men, brethren, and fathers.
He's telling them.
Hear ye my defense
of his,
which I make now
academic, knowledge-based religious background. He said, hear my defense,
which I make now unto you.
Uh-huh.
And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence.
You get the drift there? They think this was just an ordinary man, that he spoke only the Amharic tongue, that is the Hebrew or Greek. They thought he spoke only Greek because he was brought up in Tarsus of Cilicia, which is a Greek city. But when they heard what, brother, that he spoke the Hebrew
tongue, to them,
it's like the one that said, but my God, he must speak Hebrew too. That's right. Read.
They kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew.
He said, I do not only speak the Jewish language or tongue, I am in fact a Jew. You see, they thought that probably he was a Greek. He said, I'm a Jew. Read on.
Born in Tarsus.
I was born in Tarsus.
A city in Cilicia.
A city of Cilicia.
Yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner.
Wait. I was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. May I? They did not have to wonder, who is this Gamaliel? No. They did not have to wonder that. When we look at chapter 5 and the appropriate verse there, you will see that they didn't have to wonder, who is this Gamaliel? When he threw that out to the Jewish crowd, the crowd was mixed but largely Jew. Everybody knew who Gamaliel was. That's right. Read on.
And taught according to the perfect manner of the law.
He was taught according to the perfect manner of the Old Testament law. You all got it? That's why he was a Pharisee. That was the group that had as their goal and objective staying with the law of Moses to the letter. That's why he was a Pharisee. And he's testifying to that here. Let us hear a little more. What verse are you?
Still in verse 3.
Okay, let us hear a little about this Gamaliel. Chapter 5, verse 34.
Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee,
mm-hmm.
named Gamaliel,
mm-hmm.
a doctor of the law.
You all hear that? Stood up in the council, a Pharisee, a doctor of the law.
Had in reputation among all the people.
Well, you all hear that? When you say among all the people, that means all the Jews from all over. Not just in this city. Wherever you go and talk about Gamaliel, everybody knew who Gamaliel was. Paul's parents, we don't know much about their parents. We only know that they were Jews. We don't know the cost of educating your child at the feet of Gamaliel then, but we know it was not Kwati and Jill. Sorry, some of you say, Brother Mitchell, what is Kwati and Jill? Sorry. Oh, Lord, you cannot take the country out of a man. But it was not saints. That's right. The parents made sure that Saul got the best education possible. This is a man that God said, you don't know my will. But we are not true. His knowledge and life conduct, in reference to the Old Testament Ten Commandment system. Somebody didn't hear that. Paul's knowledge and the conduct of his life measured by the Old Testament Ten Commandment system, that was without equal. It was difficult to find a man who lived up to the Ten Commandment system as much as Saul did. You want to hear more of that? Thank you for wanting to hear more of that. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 4 through 6. Let us hear it.
Though I might also have confidence in the flesh.
What we're looking on, you know, is the man religious life conduct resume, his knowledge base resume. That is the man to whom God said, I call you to let you know my will. How can a man with so much knowledge, so much religiousness behind him from he was a child, how can he not know God's will? Read, brother.
If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh.
Wait. May I have your attention? Trust in the flesh here mean you have something, some religious background and religious heritage to boast about. That's what he meant, trust in the flesh. I have some prestige behind me. I can boast. You know, and many of the Jews love to boast, I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin and Judah, those were, and of course the tribe of Levi, the priesthood tribe. But especially King Saul belonged. That was the top tribe, because I believe Benjamin was the only child of the 12 tribes that was born in the promised land. So they are preeminence. Judah was referred to as the Lion of Judah. That tribe. Prominence. That's why Jesus Christ, David, came from the tribe of Judah. So this prestigious religious background. What he said there, brother? If any man think them have anything to boast about, Paul said what?
I more.
I have more. You all get that? You all get that? It's difficult, Paul said, to find a Jew that have more religiousness, living up to the law, and to Judaism. It's difficult to find a person to have more than I have. Read now, brother.
Circumcised the eighth day.
I was circumcised the eighth day.
Of the stock of Israel.
Of the stock of Israel. Wait. All these are religious, biological, prestigious resume. God said to Abraham, you should circumcise every male child at 8 days old. And that was God's beginning of choosing the Israelite to bring the Savior into the world. Way back in their great grandfather, Abraham. Circumcision. Paul said, I am a part of that divine heritage. Circumcised the 8 days of the stock of Israel.
Of the tribe of Benjamin.
You hear I was telling you about Benjamin, Jonathan? Huh? Your father, King Saul, was from that tribe. Jonathan. That's right. That's right. Read on, brother.
An Hebrew of Hebrews.
I wish I had time to tell you more about how the Jews felt about the tribe of Benjamin. It was a religious tribe. This is why when the kingdom was divided, it was Benjamin and Judah that formed part of the side that's supposed to have stuck with God. Read on, brother.
An Hebrew of the Hebrews.
And all that. In fact, what I plan is that in the night service, I would go in more detail in what, when he says, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrew. That meant in the Hebrews' migration and taken into captivity, many of the Jews intermarried. And sometimes lost some of their Jewish identity. Paul is saying, my heritage didn't do that. I am a true-blooded Hebrew. There is no Gentile blood in me. Read on.
As touching the law.
Now, watch here now. That's religion now. As touching the law, wait, which law, brother? The Ten Commandment law. Which law, Brother Mitchell? The law which talk about the Sabbath. He said, as touching the law.
A Pharisee.
I was a Pharisee. We are the group that set ourselves aside to live up to the demand and the expectation of the law. This man is telling of his deeply religious background. That's the man that God said you need to know. Read on, brother.
Concerning zeal.
Wait. Hey, you did it? Concerning zeal.
Persecuting the church.
That's how zealous I was in respect to Judaism. In respect to the Ten Commandments system. And God come to tell this man, you need to know my will. Yes! Because he didn't know God's will. Read on, brother.
Touching the righteousness.
Wait now. Oh, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line, huh? Touching the righteousness. Touching. This is it. The righteousness which come by
the law.
You all hear that? This is religion. Because the Jewish religion was about this righteousness. And Paul said, I did not just embrace Judaism as an outward thing. He said, the righteousness which come from the Ten Commandment system, the law,
blameless.
Somebody didn't hear that, Jonathan.
concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless.
Everybody get that? You could never use the Ten Commandments system and point finger at Paul. Y'all got that? Which means he lived up to it. This is the man that God says, you no know me will. The man, wait, do you see what I see? That you can be a religious person and keep Sabbath. Eh? And feel you are living up to God's will. And yet you do not even step yet in the right direction. Because God said to this man, I call you that you may know my will. Read on a little further.
But what things were gained to me?
What things were gained to me? The things there Jonathan is referring to his achievement in Judaism. What things were gained to me?
Those I counted loss for Christ.
Uh-huh.
Yea, don't.
Yea, and do count them but?
Don't.
Are we all there? The word, the among other things, it referred to rubbish. Among other things. He's saying all that the law helped me to achieve. It's nothing. Do count them, but don't watch here. Read on.
That I may win Christ.
That I may win Jesus Christ. Read on.
And be found in him.
Watch here now. Watch here. I want you to listen. And be found in Jesus Christ, not.
Not having my own righteousness.
I told you we'd come back to our righteousness or their own righteousness. Paul says, not having mine
own righteousness. Which is of the law.
Everybody get that? You can be made to feel righteous. Embracing certain denominational, you know, get it? Certain denominational teaching. You can be made to feel righteous. But that is your, somebody didn't get that little part, Jonathan, just that little part. Not having my own
righteousness. Which is of the law.
When we get righteousness other than by the pure gospel of Christ. Elucidate, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. When we get righteousness by man-made teaching, denominational teaching, even though we feel that we are holy and righteous, it is not true righteousness.
Amen.
It is our own righteousness.
Amen.
Which means we still stand condemned in the sight of God.
Amen.
You know what I find striking? Mine own righteousness here derived from the law. The law was given by God. But Paul is implying here that that type of righteousness is of no worth. Because, you see, God had nailed the law to the cross.
Amen.
To be living by it now means you are displeasing to God. And that goes to say, when we live by any religious system not found in the gospel of Christ, whatever we achieve, however we may feel righteous, it is our own righteousness, not the righteousness that derived from Jesus Christ. Are we there? You see the man's religious resume? It was plentiful. But you know what? It was not enough to satisfy God's justice. And men and women today who get intoxicated in their religious denomination and they feel holy and they feel good, you still need to learn the will of Jesus Christ and submit to it. If you don't, go back and read the passage here in Philippians chapter, is it chapter 3 from verse 4 to 6?
Yes.
That's right. Go and read it. Because here is a man who achieved some degree of righteousness by the standard of the law. But that standard of the law still fell below the requirement that God want. Are we there? Vast knowledge lived up to the law strictly, blameless. When he said, I more, he mean there was no Jew that surpassed me in my religiousness and effort. But Paul says, I count that as refuse. There are thousands of church-going religious men and women today that are like Paul, who are thinking that they are holy, they are righteous in the sight of God. May I? Religious teaching that came from man's imagination, invented by man, handed down through the years, will never be accepted by God. Never. Remember, righteousness which is according to the law. The law was from God. Man-made religious teaching never at any time get God. So it can never do for us what needs to be done spiritually. That's why we encourage men and women, walk away from religious denomination. And if you want proof, here is a man who religiously had it. The system previously given by God, Paul lived up to it, whereby nobody could point finger at him using the law as a standard. And your Seventh-day Adventist friends, relative and whatever that is out there, remember this passage, that a man or a woman can live up to the law to the extent that nobody can use it to condemn you. And yet, you are still at that time the chief of sinner in God's sight.
Yeah.
That thou shouldest know the will of God. Only when we acquaint ourselves with the will of Jesus Christ as revealing the gospel of Jesus Christ, only when we acquaint ourselves with it and submit to it, are we going to be made righteous and have the righteousness that will stand in the presence of God's holiness and God's righteousness. Oh Lord, I need to stop here. So many more things to share. Being sincere, being deeply religious, dedicated, belonging to a religious group, morally upright, all of these, they do not mean that we yet meet God's standard. You need to know the will of God, and as I've said in the beginning, God's will is not some abstract imagination. God's will is revealed in the gospel for all of us. And I'm begging you, among other things, don't permit yourself to be wrongly led. Don't permit yourself to be deceived by man-made teaching and religious denomination. Saul is a good example that you can be deeply religious, living up to that religion as best as your knowledge direct, and you are still a sinner in the sight of God. We are going to sing an invitation song now. You know, there's one or two more passages, especially one in Galatians chapter 1, where again he points out how we excel in the Jewish religion above most of his countrymen. So what we are presenting to you is a deeply religious man who in that religion achieve a lot. But if the religion is not from the gospel of Christ, pure and touch, it will never make you into what God wants you to be. If you are here today, and if you have never been just a Christian, that's what God, in the Bible, you never read of a Methodist Christian, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, a Jehovah Witness Christian, a Pentecostal, never. The reason is simple. God's word makes us only Christian. Anytime we are something other than just a Christian, we are too much for God. If you have some prefix attached to your religious name, you see, the word Christian honor Jesus Christ. That's right. And no one else to be honored in your religious life. So if you find yourself being a Roman Catholic Christian, a Pentecostal Christian, you need to ask this question. Where in the Word of God, where in the Gospel make me that? When you find it, come and teach me, because I would like to know. You see, I read the Bible, and where I read is that God's word make us Christian and Christian only. If you're Christian, have some prefix and suffix and whatever, come show me the passage that justify that. I can find passage that plainly show me that no man-made name, suffix, or prefix must be attached to me and my relationship with Christ. Bible says, whatever you do in words or deed, let all be done to Christ's glory. Today you can become a Christian. That's what Christ wants you to be. In fact, that's what he makes of us. Come now. God brought you here this morning for you to listen to this lesson so that you might be enlightened and be in a better position to become a child of God the Bible's way. Let us stand. Come believing, come repenting of your sin, come confessing Jesus' name, come getting baptized for the removal of your sins.